In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. In every proskuneia service that we have, the service of preparation that takes place before the divine liturgy, there are certain saints that have so established themselves in the mind of the church that they're commemorated every week, regardless of whether it's their day or not. In the case of the women martyrs, we have Tecla, Barbara, Anastasia, Catherine, Kyriaki, Fultony, Marina, Paraskeva, and Irene. These saints were all considered such great martyrs that they remembered every single divine liturgy. Well, today we are fortunate enough to also celebrate the memory of one of those saints, Kyriaki, truly one of the greatest martyrs that has ever lived, an astonishing woman who lived during the reign of Diocletian in the east and Maximian in the west, who sort of served as twin poles of evil, I guess you could say, for the Christians of that day. Kyriaki was a very devoted young lady, had very wealthy parents. She had a lot of money. But even early on, she didn't seem much interested in that. Because of her wealth, she had a lot of suitors. And they came to her and were wanting to marry, and she was essentially saying, forget it, it's not going to happen, because I'm just not interested in this. I'm interested in preserving my virginity for the Lord. Because back then, before monasticism had been fully established, virginity was held in great regard by the Christians, and Kyriaki, this is something that she wanted to do, even though her parents wanted her to marry. Well, as was so often the case, back then, when the suitors got shrugged off, they complained. And one or two of them even complained to Diocletian. And Diocletian said, you know, what's the problem here? Why don't you want to marry? And when she gave her reasons, then he wasn't happy with it at all. And so one of the suitors decided to say, well, you know, she's a Christian, right? She doesn't even want to sacrifice to the gods. She doesn't believe in any of the gods that we believe in. And hearing this, Diocletian became really, really upset. And so began a progression of a series of tortures, some of the four most incredible tortures that are recorded in the history of the church. Diocletian couldn't get her to renounce Christ. He sent her to Maximian. Maximian couldn't get her to renounce Christ. And so he chose two different people that were known for being able to get people to change their minds about these things, and yet she absolutely refused. She underwent the tortures as if they were nothing. The Lord appeared to her once and healed her, and it seemed like nothing was going to be able to get rid of this woman. Well, finally, they had decided that they were going to behead her. Yet the Lord, who was so thrilled with the progress of his martyr, decided that no one's going to behead this woman. No one's going to corrupt her body in any way. And so Kyriaki simply died. And of course, this was after her parents, being unable to persuade her, had been beheaded. This was a story that really seared itself into the memory of the church from very, very early on. And she is considered one of the greatest martyrs that the church has ever known. Astonishing woman. And astonishing all the more because of the great riches that she had. She could have gone anywhere, married anyone, and done anything. And yet, no, that wasn't going to be enough for her. And it sort of ties into today's gospel, doesn't it? This gospel today is what I call the anxiety gospel. Because the Lord refers directly to these things. He talks about the eye being the lamp of the soul, and that what comes in must be pure, and if it's not, there's going to be all kinds of corruption inside. And then suddenly he makes this switch to money, because he says no one can serve two masters, God and mammon. Well, mammon was not a Greek word at all, actually. It's a Syriac word. It refers to great riches or great wealth. And so the Lord is saying you have to choose. Well, why did he mention mammon per se? There are many other things that draw us away too, but money is the one thing that seems to have got the gears of the world going for from the very first memories of the human race. And the Lord knew this. And he says you can't serve them both. Now, he didn't say that you had to do without it. But he did say that you can't serve it. And then he goes on to address the people that were listening at the time. And you have to remember that this was Galilee. Okay, Galilee was not a poor area. Galilee was well-to-do. And so when he begins speaking to people, he doesn't say something like, well, don't take concern the fact that you have nothing to wear. No, he says, don't take concern over what it is you are to wear. In other words, people then, as today, were concerned about these things. How they should look, what they should wear, what they should eat. Not the mere fact of sustenance, which God knows that we all need. But no, the fact that we are going above and beyond what is normal for a human being. What is normal for us to have in our lives. Because if you face it, all of our lives are concerned with these things. We all pursue these things constantly. Practically from the time we are young, what are we taught? Well, you know, you need to go to school. You need to get into a good career. You know, you need to make enough money to live. You know, all the things that you want to do, all the places that you want to go. These things are really ingrained into us from a very young age. And as we get older, we add the degree of competitiveness in our lives as well. Because not only are we struggling to get these things that we want, we are competing for them. We are judging other people for them. We are looking at this guy over here, this woman over here, and seeing where they are on this little ladder of monetary gain, and somehow feeling that we've got to get around them. We've got to go over them. We've got to get by them, because it's our careers that are at stake. And what's important about our careers, because then we can have the things that we want to have. Then we can have the things that we want to dress in, all the great food that we want to eat, all the appurtenances that decorate our homes, all of the lake houses, the boats, all these things that are part and parcel of the American dream. And yet the Lord tells us today, forget it. Forget it all. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. And this is something that we fail to do all the time. All the time. How many of us in our jobs, when we've got something big coming up and we've got to work hard for it, how many of us start thinking, well, I've got to seek the kingdom of God first before I enter into this project? Does that happen very often? Do we even put God in front of all these things? And again, the Lord knows where we are today. The Lord knows our situations. He has placed us here. In this country, in this time, in this place of great abundance, with all the people that we have around us, in this sort of society that judges us on where we are and how well we do. There's no question about that. The Lord knows these things. He's put us here. But at the same time, He says there is only one thing needful. And if you're not seeking the kingdom of God and its righteousness first, then your life is going to be one big struggle amongst all of the other cattle looking to get to that one door that leads out of the pasture. That's all it's going to be. This is a hard lesson for all of us. It was a hard lesson for me because I spent many, many years working in the world, and I fell into these same types of traps. If I saw a coworker who was getting called into the boss's office for some reason that I knew wasn't going to be good for me or that was going to be better for him. Who, what am I going to do about this? You know, I've got to do something here. I've got to do something to get myself noticed. You know, this happens all the time. This is the way we are as human beings. I mean, the whole world plays to our weaknesses, plays to our faults, to the fact that we fall into these sorts of things, doesn't it? It happens so often. But yet, again, the Lord has insisted, the kingdom of God and its righteousness. What does that mean to us? Does that mean that we should be praying every single day of our lives that God's will be done in us? Because we know that if that is the case, then all these other things will be taken care of. Does it mean we need to be in church? Absolutely. Sure. Sunday mornings may be nice for a boat ride or something to do. We've all succumbed to that. But the kingdom of God and its righteousness is what He is calling you to first. We can't ever forget this because we're distracted by 1,000 things during the day. I mean, every single minute of the day, there's something to distract us. What else does the Lord tell us? Don't be anxious. Well, that's an easy thing, isn't it? Don't be anxious. When we hear the news every day, something else has happened here, something is happening there, this person said that, or this person said this, what is going on? Oh my goodness, you know, the world's coming to an end. What can I do about it? Nothing. Nothing except seek the kingdom of God and its righteousness, and the Lord will take care of all these other things. How do we avoid being anxious? You know, we have to take every word that the Lord told us in the Gospels, not as suggestions, but as commands. Be not anxious. Look at the birds who fly in the air. The Lord takes care of them. Look at the grass that is today cut and thrown tomorrow into the fire, and yet Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed as one of these. And the Lord who takes care of these minute little things in all of His creation, how much more will He take care of you? And then He adds those wonderful words, O ye of little faith. We have to work towards this faith. We have to put God before us at all times, in everything that we do. We must remember Him every single moment of every day. It's not as hard as you think. You can bring to mind God very quickly. Lord, help me. Before you go into that meeting with the boss. Lord, give me strength. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on me. Very quick. These are all tools that the Lord has given us to connect with Him, to remind us that He's there, and that if we seek Him first, He's going to handle everything else. Kiriaki knew this. She didn't care. She didn't care for anything she had in her life. Riches, marriage. In fact, she said about marriage, she said, who among women who has gotten married hasn't regretted it? Well, we'll get off that topic right now. But she was very much of that mindset of seeking the things of the Lord, that was the important thing. And that's what we've got to remember today. I wanted to close just by reading you something. If you haven't ever heard of Father or Archimandrite Emilianos of Simona Petra, who was the abbot of Simona Petra Monastery in Mount Athos for many, many years. He quit being abbot, I think, around 2001 or 2, and just reposed recently. He wrote a number of wonderful books. This one's called The Way of the Spirit, Reflections on the Life of God. And if you don't know it, when you get home, run to your computer, don't walk, and order one of his books, because there's so many. But he, even being a monk, was very down to earth in the things that he knew that we all had difficulties with. And regarding today's gospel, he says, you know, rather than being filled with the knowledge of God, we normally live with a void at the center of our existence. There's a hole in our heart into which crawl all the cares and worries of life. We work ourselves to exhaustion in pursuit of success and happiness. We struggle to improve our position in society, to attend the right schools, to move in the right kinds of circles, but the void within us is always on the increase. Nothing in the world could fill it, because it can only be filled by God. Another problem that we have is that we tire easily. When it comes to worldly pursuits, our energy knows no bounds. But when we grow weary very quickly when God is concerned, those who chase after wealth or glory never tire of doing so. Others pursue sensual pleasures, tirelessly chasing after sin. But even the thought of running after God leaves us feeling fatigued. We get tired and then we forget and then we're led astray by the world. But then something happens to make us think of God. And so we make promises and resolutions, but after a little while, forget all about them. And so it goes round and round. But think about the material things you're chasing after and accumulating in great piles. They're all banal, fleeting, and utterly without meaning. If you're able to see this, then seek the eyes of your deep of your soul deep into your heart, even though it's twisted and perverted, and simply ask God to take over. This is what Kyriaki did from an early age. What a blessing from an early teen years to do this. And this is what the Lord is telling us today. And if you want to renew your life, if you want to strengthen your soul, if you want to attain to that God-likeness that we're called to, then put Him first. It's that simple. There's nothing else to it. So through the prayers of our Holy Mother among the saints, the great martyr, Kyriaki, Lord Jesus Christ our God, have mercy on us. Amen.